nothing like a bit of cinema romance. And Derek James has also been writing about cinemas this month. He went to Southwold to find out about not one, but two cinemas there. One of them opened by Michael Palin. Here is Nicky with a tale of two cinemas.
Yes, there were plenty in Norwich and Ipswich, but there were also cinemas in most of our market towns. In the days before television took over our lives, they were our escape to another world. Those of us of a certain age can look back on those days with great affection, the crazy Saturday morning shows, and then going to the movies with our girlfriend or boyfriend. Happy days. But there was one young man also extremely interested in what went on behind the scenes, not just on the screen. It was back in the summer of 1958, when he was enjoying a holiday in Southwold, and got permission from James Blythe, manager of the town's cinema, to take a look in the projection box. John Hur, the chief projectionist, showed him around, explained how a film programme was put together and projected. He was allowed to rewind reels of film and discover exactly what went on, which would come in very handy in the future. His name was David Cleveland, who went on to be an actor, TV star, you may remember him from that wonderful BBC series Vision On, and then the director of the brilliant East Anglian Film Archive from 1976 to 2004, and an acclaimed author. David has written a number of great books, and the one on the Southwold Electric Picture Palace is a little gem, a story of one town's love affair with the cinema. The story starts in 1912, when the Halesworth Time reported that the Southwold Picture Palace was now one of the most popular institutions in the town, with the applause at the end of films generous and appreciative. The Assembly Rooms in York Road was a busy place at the beginning of the 20th century, and in the summer of 1912, a screen with rounded corners was painted on the back wall and projection apparatus installed. Southwold now had its own electric picture palace. David follows the story of the cinema over the decades and paints a vivid and delightful picture of the role it played in the life and times of Southwold. For example, by 1927, the enlarged cinema was now taken over by Lily Crick. Her son, by a former marriage, James Blythe, aged 20, was the manager, who could seat 500 people and was proud to show the film Ben-Hur, announcing, "We believe the greatest film ever produced, at any rate the most costly film ever booked by us." Even a special late train left Southwold for Halesworth at the end of the film, about 10:30 p.m, so more people could see it. Sadly, the Southwold Railway closed 2 years later in 1929. The only public transport left was the bus. By 1930, local VIPs were invited to see the first talking films with the announcement, "All children must be paid for and children in arms will not be admitted, as silence must be enforced when the programme's being shown." The book also highlights what life was like in Southwold during the Second World War. The films continued, but Lily Crick died in 1942 and James Blythe took over, and the cinema continued to host gatherings on special occasions. By the late 1950s and early 1960s, times were changing. Regional television had arrived. There were empty seats. New owners came along. It became the Ritz. Dances and bingo were introduced to no avail, and it closed in 1963. In so many places, the story ends there, but not in Southwold. In 1997, the Southwold Film Society was formed and regular shows began at the Eversley School gym. People loved it. One of the leading members of the group, John Bennett, said, "We wanted from the outset to capture the atmosphere of the heyday of the cinema." And they did just that. The old fireplace was blazing again. John's wife, Jane, organised refreshments. Daughter Rosie manned the mobile box office, and Lawrence Corner, with a suitable cap, was the commissionaire. When the school closed, the society moved to the Stella Peckett Hall, but in 1998, John's architectural practice had been approached about converting old stables and cart shed at Blackwell Road into a dwelling. Well, a couple of years later, and after much fundraising and a lot of hard work, the buildings became the Electric Picture Palace, which was opened in May 2002 by Michael Palin, who was delighted to see a small organ rise out of the stage with Dennis Marriott playing nostalgic tunes. And so the show goes on. What a wonderful story.
Thank you, Nikki.